for them and see what the Lord will do. All right. Let's sing our Sunday night songs as we get started. Get a little refreshment in here. All right. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. All right, open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Revelation in chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. Bill, I'm going to go ahead. I know this battery's going to die right in the middle of this, so I'm going to change these right now. Back on? All right. Revelation chapter 1. I've decided that what we'll do as we go through this study is each night we'll just get as far as we get. I don't have any goal to get to a certain point. We just see what we can do with the times that we have. I don't want to keep you late tonight, but we want to look at the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Last week I gave you some introductory notes. I gave you the beginning of the book of Revelation, who the writer was, when he wrote it, why he wrote it, different things like that. Tonight we want to get into the book of Revelation. My goal in this study is that when we're done or as we're going through it, that you get a good overview of what the book of Revelation is all about. We hear many things, teachings from the book of Revelation that are wild. And so I want to give us the basic information and the truth that's contained there, because it's wonderful information. As we look at the book of Revelation, if you're kind of, I would recommend you do this, as you know, I'm an outline kind of preacher. And the reason I do that is because I believe it helps us to simplify and understand what we're looking at. If we just kind of talk and go through it, the context is kind of lost. But everything in the Bible, I'm amazed when I study it, everything is organized. Now again, I don't believe that God spoke to John and said, now here's the outline I'm going to give you, John, and you write it this way. But I believe when we look at what John wrote, we can get a constructive outline from it that helps us to understand it. If we can put it in some simple points, it helps us understand what we're looking at. And so my goal is to make it understandable. Sometimes folks read some things in the book of Revelation and just say, what in the world's going on? I'm hoping and I'm praying that as we go through the book of Revelation, you won't come back saying, what in the world did he say? What in the world's going on? I'm hoping we can make some things clear as we go through it. Having said that, let me tell you that the Revelation chapter 1 is in two parts. All right, there are two parts to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1 to 8 is the introduction. And that's what we'll begin looking at tonight, and I doubt that we'll get down through verse number 8. But verse 1 to 8 is the introduction. Verse 9 to 20 is packed full of stuff. Verse 1 to 8 we won't have a lot of trouble with. Verse 9 to 20, all of a sudden we're going to start seeing some things that John saw that are going to be amazing to us. But verse 1 to 8 is the introduction, and verse 9 to 20 are the instructions. The instructions, where God gives to John some specifics and some things to pass on to you and I. We're going to see that again as we go through. So the introduction is verse 1 to 8, and the instruction is verse 9 to 20. Every chapter of the book of Revelation will start this way with the main headings of that chapter, and then we'll break it down from there. So tonight, let's begin looking at the introduction, verse 1 down to verse 8. Verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I believe in these first three verses, as we look at the introduction, we see the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book in verse 1 to 3. He says, at the end of verse 1, in verse number 2, to bear record of the word of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave in him to show unto his servants those things which must shortly come to pass. That is the purpose of the book of Revelation. It's good to get the purpose right from the horse's mouth, as it were. The purpose of the book of Revelation is not to inflate your mind with information. The purpose of the book of Revelation is not to debate and to argue with other people about what future events are going to be. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to educate you as a Christian, as an individual, and us as a church of those things which must shortly come to pass. I don't care about Nostradamus. I don't care about horoscopes. I've got everything I need right here in the book of Revelation. I know what's going to come to pass. I wasn't worried about Y2K. I wasn't worried. You know, yesterday, did you see the alarm that went off in Hawaii? Isn't that amazing? Somebody pushed the wrong button. How in the world do you push the... Somebody pushed a button that alerted the whole island that a missile strike was imminent and they should take cover, and it said, this is no exercise. And the people in Hawaii were panicking. They thought North Korea had fired a missile. And then they found out somebody had pushed the wrong button. They need to cut somebody's finger off. My only question is, what button was that next to that they pushed the wrong? What was the other button? I'd hate to know what the other button was. I'm not worried about these scenarios. I'm not worried about this end of the world destruction, because I know how it's going to end. And that's a great comfort to you and I. That we don't have to panic when the world panics. We don't have to get all caught up in this thing and that thing. We don't have to stock our cellar with all kinds of food supplies and all that, because we know what the Bible says is going to happen. The purpose of the book is to show unto his servants. Unto his servants. See, that's the catch. The book of Revelation is for you and I that are servants of God. Those that are not servants of God, they can worry about the newscast. They can worry about the guy hitting the wrong button. But for you and I that are servants of God, we've got everything we need right here. So the purpose of the book is stated, to show unto his servants those things which must shortly come to pass. Now I want you to notice that word, shortly. It says in verse number 1, those things which shall shortly come to pass. Now wait a minute, John. You wrote this in 95 A.D. We are now into 2018. Those things did not come shortly to pass. By some people's definition of shortly. He didn't say they will soon come to pass. He said they will shortly come to pass. The word shortly in this context means swiftly, speedily, or rapidly. These things that shall shortly come. You know what that means? It means when these things in the book of Revelation start to happen, there's no turning back. There is no second chance or second opportunity. If I could liken it to anything, it'd be the door of the ark being shut after 120 years, all those years of Noah preaching and building the ark, and saying, get in the boat, and people mocked and people ridiculed and people laughed until the day that the rain came down. And when the rain came down and God had shut the door of the ark, the people came banging on the outside and saying, let us in. And God said, it's too late. You can't get in now. When these things begin to happen, I've heard people say this, well, you know, everything you say about the book of Revelation, when I see it start to happen, then I'll believe. I've got news for you. You don't get that second chance. Now, we're going to see some things about the 144 witnesses and all that kind of stuff, but for those alive right now, that hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and reject it, there is no second chance in the book of Revelation. When these things begin to happen, it's one after the other. There's no reprieve. There's no timeouts. You get to Revelation chapter 6 and 7, and the mountains are falling, and the waters are rising, and all these things happen. There's no second opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you won't get saved right now, when you can reasonably think about it and put your faith in Christ, you won't get saved then when all hell breaks loose. Excuse my phraseology, but that's exactly what's going to happen. The rocks and the hills are falling upon us. And you know what they say? Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They don't say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. They're increased in their antagonism against God. And so the Bible says these things shall shortly come to pass. It doesn't mean soon. It means when they begin to happen. They're one after the other in rapid succession. Notice one other word in verse 1. Those things which must shortly come to pass. You know, it could say those things which will shortly come to pass, and that would have been sufficient. Because the Lord is going to tell us what's going to happen. But he doesn't say those things that will. He says those things that must. What does it mean that they must come to pass? Well, the victory of Jesus Christ over his enemies must come to pass. The eternal damnation of those that reject the gospel and the Savior, that must come to pass. The eternal reward of those that claim Christ as their Savior, that must come to pass. The restoration of the nation of Israel to their place in the millennial kingdom, that must come to pass. You know why? Because all the prophecies of the Bible have predicted it. So these things have to happen. They must come to pass. It's not just that they will. Oh, you think this is going to happen? No, I think this has to happen. Because the Lord has had it planned from the very beginning. And these things are going to shortly come to pass. The rise of the Antichrist. The power of the Antichrist. The demise of the Antichrist. The casting of the beast into the lake of fire. The great white throne of judgment. The new Jerusalem coming down. All these things have to happen. Because God has promised them. Notice, if you would, here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, as we talk about the purpose of the book. Notice the chain of delivery. The chain of delivery. There are five entities mentioned in verse number 1 to whom this revelation is given. Notice it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So let's start at the top with God. I don't mean to put him at the top of Jesus Christ, but in this passing down of the delivery of the book of Revelation, let's see the source where it came from. It came from God the Father to Jesus Christ, God the Son. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, notice, to show unto his servants. So God to Jesus Christ to the servants. We are the recipients of the book of Revelation, the servants of God. But notice it puts somebody between the Lord and the servants. It says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signify it by his angel unto his servant John. So if we could get this chain of command correctly, or chain of delivery, the book of Revelation went from God to Jesus Christ to his angel to John to the servants. That's all in verse number 1. That's all in verse number 1. That the chain of delivery, this started with God. It originated, the book of Revelation originated with God the Father. It was given to Jesus Christ, who gave it to his angel to send it down to John, who wrote it for the servants. So what we have has a divine chain in it. The book of Revelation's authorship is not just John. It's God to Christ, who gave it to the angel, who revealed it to John, who wrote it down for us, his servants. Now, who is the angel that God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signify it by his angel? Who is the Lord's angel? Well, we're left with two possibilities, because there's only two angels that we really know that we can identify. And these are the only two that are ever commissioned in Scripture with such an awesome responsibility. One of those would be, of course, Michael. Michael would be one of the angels. This is the Lord's angel. Look, if you would, at the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Here Jesus says the same thing. He said in Revelation 22, 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. So this angel in Revelation 1:1 is the revelation, as the angel of Revelation 22:16. He's identified as the Lord's angel, Jesus' angel. Now the only two we can possibly think of are Gabriel and Michael. The only two angels that we can, and again, it could be a third angel we don't know about, but those are the most likely possibilities for you and I to consider. Because these are the two that are entrusted with the things of God. Michael in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 is entrusted with great responsibility from God. Gabriel in Daniel chapter 8 verse 16 and chapter 9 and verse 12 is given great responsibility. So John received his revelation from God to Jesus Christ to an angel to John. There are some charlatans in our day today that try to imitate this. Well, I saw an angel. Well, an angel spoke to me. The Bible tells us that the days of those speakings are past. God doesn't deliver messages anymore the way He delivered it then. With the book of Revelation, He closed the canon of Scripture. And no one gets revelations from angels any longer, no matter how much they claim that they do. But John had a special revelation from an angel as he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the witness of the Word of God. So here we see this passing down through the angel. And the Bible says again in verse 1, there's so much information in one verse. He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Signified, look at that word. Can we break it down and say it, pronounce it differently with the same spelling? He signified, S-I-G-N. We pronounce it signified, and that's correct. But if you break the word, He signified. You know what that means? That the book of Revelation is full of signs and symbols. Languages change over time. What means something at one time doesn't necessarily mean something at a later time. One of the attacks against our King James Bible is that because it's 400 years old, some of the language has changed, some of the wording is different, and needs to be updated. Now again, you would understand that I would maintain it doesn't need to be updated, it needs to be looked up. If there's a word in there you don't understand, get a dictionary. All right, use that thing God put in your head. Don't entrust someone else to modify it for you. Get a dictionary, look and see what the word means. In 400 years, yes, we acknowledge the language has changed. Well, we're talking about a revelation that's 2,000 years old and has gone from one language to a lot of different languages. So you know what God did? He said, I'm going to do something that doesn't change. I'm going to use signs and symbols. And so throughout the book of Revelation, we're going to find signs and symbols. Now, here's the great challenge of the book of Revelation. And here's what throws people into all the wild speculations. To understand when something is a sign and when it's not a sign. When something is a symbol and when it's to be taken literally. When we get farther into the book of Revelation, we're going to see a great 10-headed dragon coming up out of the sea. Is that a sign? Is that a symbol? Or is it really a 10-headed dragon coming up out of the sea? The way we interpret it is going to determine where we go in the book of Revelation. So one of the things we've got to be aware of as we move forward is identifying the signs in the book of Revelation. Now, the great recommendation is always this. Anything that can be interpreted literally should be taken literally. If it's impossible to take literally, then we can interpret it as a sign or a symbol. So that is our basis for the book of Revelation, and that is what really opens up our key to understanding. Notice that word in verse number 1. And He signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Now there's a second meaning to the word signified. You remember when Jesus was put into the tomb, and the stone was rolled in front of it, and they took the ring, and they signified with that ring that that tomb was closed. It was shut by authority of the powers of Rome. That's how they signified something. We would call it a wax seal. If you've ever gotten an envelope that was official business, and as it's closed, you know, they wanted to make sure nobody had opened it, you know, steamed it open with an iron, and then closed it back up as some folks, I guess, not that I've ever done that, but I've heard you can do that. But they wanted to make sure that couldn't be done, so they put a wax seal because it's obvious when the wax seal is broken. Well, the signified here is this came from God to Jesus Christ to an angel to John, and it's been signified. All right? It's got the autograph of God the Father on it. That is why when we get to chapter 22, you know these words. If any man adds to the words of this prophecy, or takes away from the words of this prophecy, I will take away from him his part of the tree of life. Now that's a pretty large condemnation that's given. But you know why? Because God has put his stamp of approval on the book of Revelation. And you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to change it. I've told you before, some of the modern Bibles just make a mess out of the book of Revelation. There's one time where an angel is flying through through heaven pronouncing a message. And in the new Bibles it says an eagle is flying through heaven. Now I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know the difference between an eagle and an angel. But the commentator that wrote that, I got into a discussion, and the guy that wrote that said, well, it's an angel or it's an eagle, it doesn't really make a difference. Well, sure it makes a difference, whether it's an angel or an eagle. And so we need to be careful when we come to the Word of God. So this is the purpose of the book in verse 1 to 3. Look at verse number 2. Who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. This is John, speaking of John, the servant John, the end of verse 1, using our grammatical English ability. When he's talking verse 2, he said, who is he talking about? He's talking about John, and his three things are said about John. He bare record of the Word of God. He bare record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he bare record of all the things that he saw. John was given this revelation as he's sitting on that mountainside on the side of the Isle of Patmos. We'll get to that when we get down to verse 9 about where John is when he writes this. But we need to realize, and I hate to use this word, the awesomeness of what's going on in front of us. That this thing is going from God to Jesus to an angel to John, and he's writing it down there, and God is giving it to him because he's bearing record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he is about to see. This is a very important revelation. This is a very awesome moment. And what I want to say in verse 2 is simply this. We must be just as careful at reading this book as John was in writing this book. All right? We need to be just as careful in reading this book as John was in writing this book. Now, that should be true of every book of the Bible, really. The letters that Paul wrote, we should be very careful. It's not for us just to take something from the Bible and put our own thoughts and opinions into it. We need to leave it alone. It's the Word of God. And as God is giving through Jesus and the angel this vision to John, he's giving him a vision of the Word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he's seen. And we need to be careful in our reading and our interpretation, because this is not a book to be treated frivolously. And yet most studies of the book of Revelation, folks, just kind of take it flippantly. Then look, if you would, verse 3 again as we look at the purpose for the book. Notice what verse 3 says. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. There's a threefold blessing given in verse number 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth. Now I would tell you tonight that you are blessed when you read the book of Revelation. I would tell you that you're blessed when you read any book of the Bible. And we are blessed in our generation, in our time, of being able to hold a Bible in our hand and read it anytime we want to. But let's go back to 95 AD for just a moment. The printing press isn't going to be invented till the 15th century. Any copies of Scripture are hand copied, and as John is getting this revelation, it's just being given to him right now. It's going to take a while before it gets into circulation. And when it does, it's going to be very few copies that are copied and handed. It's not like you and I finding a Bible anywhere we want to find one. If I neglect or if I forget my Bible on Sunday morning and leave it at home and I go home in the afternoon and I say, oh no, I left my Bible there, I can find one in my house. It's not real difficult. Most of us are in that position. But back in that day, it wasn't so. The only things they had were those precious few copies that were given, and they read them in the auditorium in front of the people. They read the scriptures out loud. You go back to the book of Nehemiah, and they stood in the midst of the people on a pulpit of wood, and they stood up and they read the scriptures from 9 in the morning till noon, and all the people gave attention as they read them aloud because they didn't have a Bible to take home and read in their daily devotions. We ought to thank God that we do have that. And it increases our responsibility. But he says to them, blessed is he that readeth. That one that stands and reads aloud these words, he's blessed. But not only that, blessed are they that hear the words. Blessed are they. You know why you came tonight? I hope. You came for fellowship. You came to hear these two ladies give their testimony of their calling of God. But we come to hear the word of God. When coming to hear the word of God is not the priority in our coming to church, we have fallen by the wayside. As you know, many churches in our day, in our current contemporary situation, they come for entertainment, they come for singing, they come for drama, they come for interpretive dancing, they come for all kinds of things, and then the preacher's got about 8 or 10 minutes to give whatever he can in that little bit of time, and the preaching is not the emphasis anymore. But the Bible says that, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. We come to hear the word of God. And then he says, thirdly, and keep those things which are written therein. And keep those things. As we study the book of Revelation, I really believe, and I've struggled with this in my study, it is difficult to believe everything that's written right there and not be moved by it. To have our eyes open to the truth of what's about to unfold and what's about to occur and what's about to happen on this planet, to the inhabitants of this planet, to the people around us that are without Christ. When we read this, it moves us. And it ought to motivate us, the Bible says, to keep the things that are written therein. That's the purpose of this book. Now we're going to close with verse 3 tonight, simply for time's sake, and we'll move on. Next week, verse 1 to 3 is the purpose of the book, and verse 4 to 8 is the preface to the book. And we'll get into that next week, verse 4 to 8. Again, talking about the introduction, verse 4 to 8 will be the preface to the book. If you've ever read a novel or read a book at the beginning of the book, you read the preface before you ever get to chapter 1. And so John's going to give us his preface, and we're going to see the Lord lifting up. But as we finish on the purpose of the book at verse number 3, I want you to notice this. In verse 3 it says, blessed is he that readeth. We have been studying over the past couple of months in Sunday school the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is blessed, blessed, blessed. And there are 7 of them in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, those different blessed. There are 7 of them. There are 7 blesseds in the book of Revelation. I want to give them to you as the last thing that we do tonight. We'll not turn to each one for time's sake, but I want you to make a note of this there. This is the first, in verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth. That's the first of 7 blesseds in the book of Revelation. Spoken by the Lord. So it's not a coincidence that there's 7 of them, just like there was in the Beatitudes. Notice here's the first one in chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. Do you want to be blessed? Then blessed is he that readeth. When you go home tonight, open your Bible and read. When you get up tomorrow morning for a few minutes, get up, open your Bible and read. Brother Matthews was talking. I think it was at the Preacher's Fellowship this past time. And he said, you know, he was talking about, you know, sometimes it's hard to read your Bible reading every day. So the first thing he does every morning is reads the proverb for that day. Today is the 14th of the month. So you get up in the morning and read Proverbs 14 and read one psalm. Now, when you get to Psalm 119, that can be a challenge. But other than that, read one proverb and one psalm. Get your day started. Then when you get time later for your personal devotion, sit down and read more of the Word of God. But get it into us. Blessed is he that readeth. The second blessed is found in Revelation 14 and verse 13. And that says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead. Isn't that a great statement? Blessed are the dead, not all the dead. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. I have never been to a funeral where the priest or preacher or whatever it is said, this person died without Christ and is burning in a lake of fire. Never been to one of those. They always paint a good picture of the person that's died. They always put him in heaven, no matter how bad a rascal he or she was. But the Bible gives it, it says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The third one is in Revelation 16 and verse 15. Blessed is he that watcheth. These are some good blessings. Blessed is he that watcheth. Matthew 24 says, watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is he that watcheth. The fourth blessed is in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. We're far into the book of Revelation before we get to the fourth. That's because there's not, you notice that there's one in chapter 1 and there's another one in chapter 14. Now, can I give you a clue before you get here? That's because there's not many blesseds in between those two. Between those two is the great tribulation period. The wrath of God. There's no blesseds in there. It's not till Revelation 14 we get to the middle of the tribulation that you see any blesseds coming around. Then in chapter 19 and verse 9 is the fourth one. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you going to be called? If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be invited. You'll be called. There's room for you. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The fifth blessed in the book of Revelation is in chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Blessed. The sixth blessed in the book of Revelation is in chapter 22 and verse 7. And it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. Chapter 22 and verse 7. We're going to learn in the book of Revelation about the removal of the church to heaven. We're going to read about the wrath of God being poured out down upon this earth. We're going to read about the arrival and the recognition of the Antichrist and the false beast and the false prophet. We're going to see how they set nation against nation during the tribulation period and all of the world marches against Israel. We're going to see the Lord coming back riding upon a white horse with 10,000 of his saints behind him. We're going to see him defeating the Antichrist and his armies and casting them into hell. We're going to see a battle so great that the blood goes up to the bridles of the horse in the valley. We're going to read all these things, and the Bible says, blessed are they that keep the sayings and the prophecies of this book. And then number 7, the last one. In chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. The 7 blesseds of the book of Revelation. There's not 8, and there's not 6. There's exactly 7. 7 is a number of perfection. We've talked about it before. And God has his perfect blessedness. And then, and just to finish up at the end of verse 3, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Again, going back to those things which must shortly come to pass. When this begins to happen, here it is. It's happening now. There's no backing up the clock. There's no falling back an hour in November. Once it comes, it's at hand, it's going to start, and things are going to move quickly. As we go into the book of Revelation and these things, we have time to go slowly through and read it. But when it begins to happen, it's not going to take weeks or months or years. It's all going to happen quickly and shortly and fast because the time is at hand. That's the purpose of the book of Revelation. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, thanking God for the information that He gives us. And again, not having to worry about the panic of the world and the society around us. Knowing that global warming is not going to destroy